Welcome to Sunday evening at Victory, time in the Word of God again. And we continue tonight our study in the book of 2 Peter. Tonight we're going to cover 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. And before we read that, I want to once again encourage you and ask you, did you make your note card this past week? In that note card that encourages the growing of our faith, where we add to our faith the characteristics of our divine nature. I hope so, and if not, I would suggest and encourage you, make that note card, review it several times during the day. Know what you're working on to grow your faith. But tonight, we're going to take a look at the subject of false teachers, and was taken from 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you, and deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, again we thank you for your word and for the opportunity to look into your word. Now I pray that you would lead in this study, that you would focus our minds and our hearts upon you, that you would teach us, Lord, your ways, that we may grow thereby. In the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. All right, you may be wondering and asking the question of why I started on chapter 2. And am I skipping the last part of chapter 1? Well, yes and no. I am skipping verses 16 through 21 of chapter 1 because I preached on that text Sunday morning, January 26th, which has not been that long ago. And so if you want to go back in the archives and get that message, you can do that on our website. But I didn't want to re-preach and repeat myself in this message, so we're going to move on to chapter 2. Today we introduce a problem that has plagued God's people for ages, actually since the beginning. And that problem is the problem of false teachers. Peter writes, "There were also false prophets among the people." And you read that, but you got to read it in association with chapter 1, verse 21, where Peter said is explaining how we got the word of the scriptures that we have. In verse 21 of chapter 1, Peter said, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Okay, that's how we have the Bible. Holy men of old, led by God, penned what God had to share with them so that they could share with us. So now, he says, when those holy men of old were writing, and during their lifetime, there was a problem. The problem was false prophets. And he says, not only is this a problem of the past, it is a problem of the present. You are going to have to deal with this same problem, just like the holy men of God in the old days had to deal with it. This is the part that people don't want to deal with, quite frankly, in today's churches. You see, we want to think that if a man calls himself a preacher or a pastor or a minister of the gospel, he must be okay because he calls himself a preacher. That's simply not true. We want to think that if an organization calls themselves a church, they must be okay because they've got the word church over the door. And that's not true. You see, we have a responsibility to examine, to see if they truly are men of God, if they truly are churches that are faithful to the Word of God. And contrary to popular opinion, it does matter what church you attend. The driving force behind a church must be, or the driving force behind the church you attend must be, what do they teach? not how many programs they have, how big their choir is, how big their attendance is. All that is secondary. The primary focus in you choosing a church must be, are they faithful in preaching and teaching the Word of God? You see, when we go back to the divine nature that we've been focusing on, we're told to add to our faith. If we're not getting the Word of God, we've got nothing to add to our faith. For example, add to your faith virtue, which is a high moral standard. If you are in a church that does not stand against sin, you're not adding to your faith. If you're in a church that has a woman preacher, and what I'm about to say is so politically incorrect that it would amaze some people, but we're not worried about political correctness. We're worried about Bible correctness. If you are in a church that has a woman preacher, get out. Get out now. You say, Brother Doug, why? 1 Timothy chapter 2:12. Paul says, do not let a woman exercise authority over a man. If you are in a church that performs or agrees with same-sex marriage, get out now. Why? Because it's directly contrary to the Scripture, Matthew 19:5. A man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they become one flesh. It doesn't say two men or two women. It says a man and a woman. And marriage is one of the foundations that society was built upon. The Bible must be the primary source of teaching in a church. And if it is not, you are not adding to your faith virtue, nor are you adding to your faith knowledge, which is the knowledge of God. Therefore, you just need to get out. If you are in a church in which the preacher never opens his Bible and reads to you the Scripture from the Word of God, get out. This must be the driving force of your spiritual life. I'm talking about the Word of God. Oh, Brother Doug, that's so strong, that's so hard. Listen. I learned a long time ago that my opinion doesn't matter. Doesn't really matter what I think. It matters what God says. And so I've gotten out of the habit of having a lot of opinions. I just want to exercise the Word of God in all purity. And that's what's expected. So, Brother Doug, how do you recognize these false teachers? Well, let's find out. In verse 2 it says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false prophets among you. Here's how you recognize them. Who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. I want to give you three definitions, okay? It says they will bring, or they will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Three definitions you need to understand here. Number one, they will secretly bring in. That phrase is one Greek word. It means to introduce something new. Oh, we're all about new things. We like new and different. And that's what this means, okay? Destructive. To destroy something by causing so much damage that it cannot be repaired. So they introduce new things that are so destructive that they cause such damage so that it cannot be repaired. And then finally, heresies. The word heresies. which means something that divides. Now let's put all that together. The basic function of a false teacher is to bring division in God's church. Most of the time by introducing something new or different that will cause so much damage that the church cannot be repaired. That's what Peter is saying. There are a lot of ways they do that. Okay? But one way I want to speak to you tonight is something that has crept into churches, that has torn churches, literally torn churches apart. It's music. The music. With each generation, music changes. With every generation. To the younger people who are watching this message, I want to tell you, you look at your parents today and you think their music is so old-fashioned and so bad. I want to tell you something. Your day's coming. Okay? Your day's coming. That day when you will have kids and they will listen to stuff that you just absolutely hate. You hate the beat. You hate the style. You know, it's not like in the good old days when music was music. Your day's coming. But here's what I want to point out to you. We tend to take exception with the style of music instead of the content of the music. Okay? Well, I don't like the style. I don't like the beat. I don't like the sound. Listen. Music has a lot of different styles, a lot of different sounds, and all that's well and good. And just because it's new does not mean it's bad. We're told in the Bible, sing a new song. But the basic requirement of gospel music is that it be scripturally sound. And definition of that is that the message of that song comes from the Bible. Okay? What are the words? Don't focus on the beat. Listen to the words. It matters what it says. And I think that's something that we forget. I'll be honest with you. There are styles of music I like and there are styles of music I dislike. But I do my very best to keep quiet concerning style. But I will stand from the highest mountain. And I will stand against music being broadcast in our churches that is not based on the pure Word of God. Those things are an avenue of false teachers creeping into the church. Not only do they introduce these new things that destroy, they deny the Lord who bought them. Refuse to recognize or to acknowledge who Jesus is. You see, these are those that do not accept Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven. These are those who say, all religions are the same, all gods are the same, we're serving the same God, just trying to get to the same heaven. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Period. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not any other religion. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Well, Brother Doug, once again, that's very closed-minded. I want to answer that. I base my statement upon Acts 4:12, where it reads, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Jesus is the only way. Now, having said that, I must accept and respect the right of people to practice whatever religion they choose to practice. I have no grounds to abuse anyone based on their religion. However, I must not accept the religion that they practice. Does it make sense? I have to accept they have the right, but I do not have to accept their religion. And if you do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then we have no spiritual common ground. If you do not believe that salvation is a gift of God received by grace through faith, then we have no common spiritual ground. So while the world is shouting that all religions need to come together, we're all serving the same God and trying to get to the same place, I shout, do not be associated with false teachers. Word of God. Book of Corinthians. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I have a responsibility that what is taught and what I accept does not deny my Savior, Jesus Christ. How else can you recognize them? A lot of times you can recognize them by the crowds that are following. Oh, they can draw a crowd. They will attract a crowd and that's their sole, you know, that's their sole purpose, is to get that big following, become a mega church. And their goal, their desire is to draw in your children and their families and to teach them their harmful doctrines. Doctrines like the prosperity gospel. It says God wants you to be rich. I want to tell you something. If God wants you to be rich, you'll be rich. If He wants you to be poor, you'll be poor. You'll be whatever God wants you to be. They teach things like the healing gospel. If you have enough faith, you can be healed. Paul, the apostle Paul, prayed that God would remove the thorn in the flesh. And remember what God told him? My grace is sufficient for you. The fun gospel, where it's all about your friends and your music and you. And you don't have to change because God loves you just the way you are. Listen, friends, there's a lot of teaching. There's a lot of false teaching. You have the responsibility to test the spirits, to decide, is what is being taught from the Word of God, is it truth according to Scripture? You have the responsibility to identify those false teachers. You can know them by their following. You can know them by their greed. It says, by their covetousness they will exploit you. The word covetousness, of course, it's talking about greed or excessive desire for acquiring more. The word exploit, it means to make a profit or engage in business. By their greed, they make their profits off of you. It's all about the dollar, all about the money. Listen, we know that giving is taught in the Word of God. We know we're expected to tithe and to give our offerings for the honor and for the glory of God. But when those gifts go to a pastor to fund his multi-million dollar home or to buy him private jets, let's be blunt, okay? That's not God's design. You're feeding the greed of the people who have sucked you into their program. Oh, listen, I've watched on TV repeatedly those charlatans who will will offer you a handkerchief to pray over this handkerchief and just send them $100 donation, and they'll send you this handkerchief prayed over. Oh, listen, friends, don't go for it. Not scriptural. Nothing about that is scriptural. Let's be a little more blunt. Don't get caught up in the Joyce Meyers and the Joel Osteens. Oh, Brother Doug, I don't think you should name names. I think I should name names. I have the responsibility of declaring to the congregation who's real and who's not. Don't buy their books. Don't buy their videos. Why? Because I want to show you something. Because they will not last. Look, verse 3. By covetousness they will exploit you or make business out of you, make profit from you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle. God's saying their judgment has not been put in a corner and overlooked. And their destruction does not slumber. God's saying the day's coming when I'm going to pour out their judgment. They're going to get their just desserts. The day of reckoning is coming for these false teachers. I want you to understand, the older I become, the more I come to know the enormous responsibility that is involved with standing before people to proclaim the Word of God. James chapter 3, verse 1, he wrote, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive the stricter judgment." When a man calls himself a pastor, for that matter, when a man calls himself a teacher, if he's teaching a Sunday school class, if you're standing up before people and you are offering a diet from the Word of God, that comes with great responsibility. And I will stand accountable. So why is Peter teaching this? Why? Because false teachers have always been a problem. It's nothing new. But I want you to understand today, and Peter wants you to understand today, that you have the responsibility to check them out. Compare what they're teaching to the Word of God. Determine, are they real? You have the responsibility to keep yourself from their heresy and to keep your family and your children from their heresy. Brother Doug, how do I know that you're the real thing? How do I know that Victory Baptist Church is a scriptural church? I invite you. Test what I say. Test what this church teaches by the Word of God. Not by your opinion, not by the opinions of a denomination, but by the Word of God. And you'll discover that yes, Victory lines up with what the Bible teaches. Now, do I say that I'm right on every point of theology? No, I'm not. Okay, I'm smart enough to know that I'm human and we all make mistakes, okay? But I'm also knowledgeable enough of the Scripture to know that there are some foundational doctrines that we cannot bend on. That if we bend on these doctrines, doctrines such as salvation by grace through faith, doctrines such as baptism by immersion, doctrines such as security of the believer, we bend on these, our foundation is cracked, and the whole house will come crumbling down. Do we line up with the Word of God? Yes, I believe we do with all my heart. And if you have a question about something that I have taught or that you've heard taught at Victory, I welcome your question, and I will do my very best to answer. But you have the responsibility to check it out. That falls on you. You may be listening to this broadcast today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to close with this. Jesus loves you. No matter where you are, what you've done, Jesus loves you. And He invites you to enter a personal relationship with Him, to come to know Him in salvation. You say, Brother Doug, how do I do that? First of all, you must know that Jesus Christ died to pay for your sin upon the cross of Calvary. He took your punishment upon Himself, and today He offers you His righteousness and says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you a child of God? Have you called on the name of the Lord? If not, I want to beg you today, turn from whatever it is you've been chasing and turn to Jesus. Ask Him to save you. Join me in prayer right now and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, knowing He is the Son of God, knowing that He died for your sins and rose from the grave, and knowing that He hears you when you pray. Brother Doug, how do I know that? Romans 10:13. Every time I preach, I use this. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you be that individual that calls on Jesus tonight? Pray with me. Our Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that we may be pure in the doctrine in which we teach. That we may honor You, Lord, by teaching in its pure and true form Your Word. Lord, help us to grow in our knowledge of You, to take Your Word and to apply it to our lives so that we may add to our faith. And Father, I pray most of all for those who will watch this broadcast, who do not know You as their personal Savior. I pray that today will be the day that they will bow their head right here, right now, confessing to You that they are a sinner, knowing that You died for their sins and asking You to save them. I pray that they will begin their walk with You today. These things I ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.